Okay, today's daf is we're going to do Tetzayin, and we begin a line from the daf. So it says, "Tnaim shibnu Yehoshua." So there's a discussion. What were the conditions Yehoshua set up in Eretz Israel when they came into Eretz Israel that everyone was meant to abide by, right? You might think ostensibly are not fluffy. It could only be allowed by through common agreement, if you like. Like Menastam, it wouldn't be allowed. So let's have a look. One of them is. That so he says, Naim had the Yeshua, Rabbi Levi, Bar Ben Biria, the sorry, Beshem, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. He says, Arba, there were four. What were they? Malakim Asavim Bechol Makom Chutz Misteh Tiltan Sha'asur Min HaGezel. So the point is here, you can Malakim Asavim, you can pick grass for feeding animals, things like that, from any place, even your friend's field. Why? Because people aren't going to be makbid on that. The Baal says not going to makbid because presumably, if they're growing cucumbers, you're basically doing them a favor, you're taking out the weeds. Okay. However, except for tiltan. Tiltan is fenugreek or it's like food, right? Because in that situation with tiltan, it's a demalula asavim agdelot ima. But tiltan. That it seems to be that the asavim that grow are actually beneficial to the tiltan. And when you pull it out, then it's they don't want you to pull it out. So there's fasur mishum geza. Now you might think, again, minastam. You can't take any from anyone's property. That's one of the gzeirot of Yehoshua. It's you're basically doing the person a favor by taking this asavim, except for the case of tilta. Gemara says taman, but one second taman tanina, v'chen tilta. Now this sugya, by the way, we saw back in Masechta Kilayim. However, it's a bit different to here. Here it seems to be the sugya somewhat short-circuited, meaning like it's certain parts where it's compacted. You'll see in a minute. It goes into much more detail, but the beginning is the same. That if you're dealing with a field of tiltan and you've got asavim growing in there, we're not mechayev the person in nachesh to come pull it out. Why? Yeah, I'll show you the marafulda here. Is it's the Imai Gemara brings a marafulda in, the marafulda from Kilayim, because it says mefarash hata. It says he's going to pull it anyway because it's bad. So we've got a contradiction. We just said according to Taka that Yeshua that you're not allowed to take asavim because it's male, it's good for the field. And here we're saying that go around and they see asavim growing in tiltan. You're mechayev the person to pull it out because of it's growing kilayin. Because the person wants to pull it out, he's going to pull it out anyway because it's mazik, it's bad for the field. Seems to be there's a stira now. Asavim good for tiltan, or they're bad for tiltan. So the Gemara says, "Kenim anin imechayim not to lakor." So is it, you know, mechayim, you're not mechayim to pull it out. So but now Yeshua, the Gemara says. In the Tnai Yehoshua, it says you can pick grass from anywhere except for this there tiltan, because why? Because it seems to be beneficial. Shasu mishum gezel, and therefore stealing. And now you're saying that the person doesn't want them in the field, and they're not good for it. So what's going on between the two Mishnahs? So it says Amar Rebbe, well, two prices. So it says so Amar Rebbe Taman there by. Tanai Yehoshua, which is really here, right? Says this Bizarra Le'amir. Mother Le'amir. So I just got it here because Reb Chaim, talking about Reb Chaim back in, this is in Kilayim. He says, Le'amir, Kshzar Tilton Le'machal Be'emar, Behema, that's when it's Asul Le'lakot Asavim, V'nichal Le'behun, Kivin Negam Asavim Machal Be'emar. So exactly, that was the point. That's what was bothering back in my mind. He said, La'amir means you're taking it to feed to animals. In that situation, that's when the asavim are good. However, abakajazara la'adam, if you're planting for human beings, la'zera, that's the idea, then actually, it's actually not good. Lo nichalei, give it a mazki, because it infects it. Okay, so it seems to be what is the intention that you're actually growing it for. If it's for, that's why how we're differentiating between the two. When Reb Yeshua is considered gezel, that's in a place where it's good for him. Why is it good for him? Because it's growing up nicely. He wants it for, because it's enhancing the growth for Amir. However, when do we say that if it's growing this, you don't have to force a person to pull that out because they're going to pull it anyway. Mashma, that sounds like it's actually detrimental. That's in a situation when it's growing the zera. Okay? That's where it's going to impact it badly. So he says, this is really strange. Because it says, Omahidna, Yerushua, it's at Yerushua the Ovre Avira. He says, one second. You're saying the Brayta of above is saying when he's happy with the Asavim being there. And if he's happy with the Asavim being there, then if you pull it out, then it's going to be Gezel. But if he's happy with the Asavim being there, then it's going to be considered Kilayim. When's it not key lying? That's when it was detrimental when it was Zorella's, when he's planted for Zerah. You're saying that in the other case, the case of Yeshua is where it is considered Gezel, is was planted in Amir. But if that's the case, then it's beneficial and you'd be over on Kilai. So what's Rabbi Yeshua stopping people stealing from, or taking this asavim from a field of Ovrei Avera that are also over on the Isur of Kilai? It seems strange that Yeshua is going to make one of his few enactments. We want to protect the property of people that are over on Kilai. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, that's what he says. It doesn't make sense to make sense. Okay? So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yeshua bar Nachmeshe Rabbi Yonatan, no shehu rotzeh behem ki'ilu akurim u'munichin lefanav. Now, the way he's explaining it now is saying, no, we don't have to, we're rejecting that distinction. It doesn't make a difference what you're planting it for. But it's, he doesn't want it when it's growing, but when it's pulled out, then he'll be happy with it. Okay? There's two ways in Masechta Kilayim we kind of explain this. I mean, as he doesn't want it when it's there because of Kilayim, but when it's pulled out of the ground, all these other stuff, he actually does want it. Why does he want it? He wants it to walk all this grass and use it to feed my animals. Okay, that's the idea. Okay, so what are you gonna the, and then it says Umar Basak, that's their kerem, and we're gonna run into a problem here. We'll get to that in a minute. So again, what's the case of why? In other words, there's no stira. Is it kilayim? Absolutely, it's kilayim. Does he want it in the field? Does he want it there? No, he doesn't want it because it's also kilayim. But once it's pulled out, it's still considered gezel because once it's pulled out, he wants it to feed his animals. Okay. The last one, just in Yerushalmi, there are two ways to, in sorry in the in Kilaim. It says lo amar ken ela should bus, sorry, the first way of reading it was lefanav. He wants them when it's pulled out in the ground. Another way of saying, you know, he doesn't even want it there and then, but once it is pulled out from the ground, then he does want it. That's why it's asurim gezel. Okay, now what the Gemara does in Masechta Kilaim at that point, it starts going on a bit of a shaklevataria. Which is the question to ask there in Kilayim is, but one second, if that's the case, why are you saying that that's the case for Asavim growing in a field of Tiltan? Say it for any field where it's growing in, even in a Kerem. Okay, because in a Kerem as well, why do you say, yes, clearly doesn't want it, once pulled out, he wants to retain Asavim to feed his animals. Okay, and the flow of the Sugya there, I'll just say it outside rather than going through the whole Shir there again. Is it starts saying that, oh no, it makes a difference. Because Tiltan is animal food anyway, so you're gonna schlep it along with it to take feed your animals. Okay? And then but when it comes to if it's in a kerem, it's a hassle. I'm dealing with picking grapes here in a kotel. So Savim is happy not to worry about it. It's too much of a hassle to worry about. And the Gemara says, well, what if the kerem is next to another field of Tiltan where he could schlep it along with the Tiltan? Would you say in the case that case that it should be Asur Bishub Gezel as well? And it seems to be left as, if you like, as a question there. Okay? I'll read it now. Since I'm giving you that background, it'll help us understand the Pnei Moshe here. The Pnei Moshe says, Va'amar Basadeh Kerem Kushi, Imken Afgi Kilayim Kirin Kemen Nami Hachi, which is like a kasha we saw, if you remember, that I just explained back in Masechta Kilayim. As well, if you find some asavim, it should be asavim because he wants them when they're in the pool, if and when they're pulled out of the ground. And in the end, it goes to the hashak. But Tari left as a question, and it comes to the end, which is right now where we're saying that actually chachamim acholik. We'll get to the chachamim acholik in a minute. So therefore, he says maybe. Maybe it's saying va'amar v'ster keren benichuta. In other words, another way of saying it is actually no. Also, the case would be a Steh Kerem. But again, I don't want to get too deep into the Moshe because again, there's branches of different ways the Mepharshim explain the end of the sugya. So, in other words, what we're effectively saying now is let's go through the flow. The first understanding between the Mishnah in Kilayim and what we're saying here was it depends on why you're growing it. That was the first shita, and then we said that doesn't seem to make sense because it seems to be the takana of not taking. You're not allowed to take the asavim from someone else's field of Tiltan is actually someone who's over in the Yisuf Kilayim because it's beneficial to him. So he says, actually, no. It might be, if you like, we could say it's mazik, you're not forced to pull it out. Nonetheless, which is, again, that's it works with what we learned in Masechta Kilayim. Nonetheless, you still ask the Mishum Gezel. Why is Hashem with some gezel? Not because he wants him in the field. He doesn't want it in the field. That's mikilayim. But once it's eventually pulled out, or he wants it when it's eventually pulled out. Either way, two ways of understanding it. Once it's pulled out, he'll want the asavim to feed his animals. Okay, so then the flaw of the Gemara seemed to be back in Masechet Gilayim, that we run into a problem then is what's the difference between this and any other field, even Kerem as well. Okay, and I sort of already explained, I don't want to go over that again. Now the Gemara here says, the Marav Yochanan calls Sfichim Asurim Chutz Min Ha'olim Besadeh Bor, Besadeh Nir, Besadeh Kerem, or Besadeh Zera. Now this seems to, if you like, support this notion that there shouldn't be a difference. But I'll just show you here now in the in Masechet Kilayim. We said at this point, we said that Minadram Pligin. Now Minadram Pligin, I'll show you in the Marafuldi, says Rav Yanai Paliger Rav Yosi, Desferei Mutar Mishum Gezel, they're actually Mutar Mishum Gezel, but lo Aser Rav Yeshua Ela Bezera Da Amir. In other words, he seems to be falling back on the original distinction because he doesn't like the explanation here of I don't want Kilayim, but I want it when it's pulled out of the ground. Okay, because he said then that there shouldn't be any difference. Why? Because if you have a look here, it says Kol Sfichim Asurim Chutz Min Olim, they're all Sfichim Asur. The way we explain it back in Masechet Kilayim here is we're talking about Sfichim during Shemitah. There's two ways to understand Sfichim. Sfichim could be just going into anyone's field and pulling stuff out, but here we're talking specifically Shemitah. If you remember, the issue was Sfichim is aftergrowth. Things that just grow on their own without planting. And we said during Shemitah, Sfichim Asurim. Why? Because we're worried that if you allow that, people will actually intentionally plant during the Shemitah year and say, oh no, there's Sfichim, it's fine. Okay? So the Gemara now is saying that they're all, it's all Sfichim Asurim, Chutz Min Ha'olim B'Sdei Bor, B'Sdei Nir, B'Sdei Kerem, U'Sdei Zera. We'll explain that in a minute. B'Sdei Bor is a field that's left to lie fallow. You're not growing anything anyway in there. So Sfichim, they're growing there, D'lo Mishkach Aleihu, because people don't care what's growing in there. It's completely not a field for growing things in there for the, if you like, the Sfichim in that field, you're supposed to be Mutar. It's not concerned someone's going to plant there because it's their bor, it's a barren field. B'Sdei Nir as well, that's a plowed field. Why is that Sfichim they're growing a plowed field? This is a field that was plowed ready for next year's planting. In that situation, is Sfichim growing out? There should also be Mutar because there's no concern for the Gezerah. Dubai Metak Nechakle, because he wants a nice fresh field ready for planting next year, and any Sfichim that grow are going to be detrimental to that. So you can't think he's going to, if we allow that, he's going to have to plant these things. Next, Sde Kerem. Why in Sde Kerem? Sholo Karmo. Because again, any Sfichim that grow in a Kerem are going to be bad because it can result in Kilayim. So you're going to assume someone's going to plant in that to make the whole plant field Kilayim. And it says Ubeste Zera as well. If you've got a field of grain, the person doesn't want this Sfichim into it because it seems to be detrimental to it. Ein rotzeh bahem. Now, here at this point, it says, "V'im tomar rotzeh bekilu ka'akrim u'nochim lafanav." Now, what is? I'll just jump to Kilayim here, because here is where it, when it goes through, it doesn't go to the same detail explaining the point, but it mentions all these things. Chutz min olim b'sdeh bor, b'sdeh nir, b'sdeh kerem, it's, and it says, "V'yomar chutz misdeh tiltan shezara lazera." In other words, if it's saying chutz mizera, it should say chutz mizera aside from, like a double negative of Tiltan. So I'll just read the Reb Chaim there. It says, "Amar shechutz mizera, the lo gazru b'sfichim parech." You should say chutz mizera mister Tiltan. Shedid lidit according to you that says the bester Tiltan nichale asavim. According to you that he's happy with asavim. Shuvikalameicha, she's gonna have to run into a problem there. She avol izroa that it's actually he actually gonna wanna end up planting there. V'yigzura le'yamishum sfichim. And then you should make exam Sfichim there. He doesn't when it's planted specifically for Zera. Okay? That kind of relates to the Sugya there and the flow of the Sugya there as well. But in other words, this seems to be a proof as well that we don't say Nichale, if you like, with Tiltan, the Tiltan, but Asavim growing. Otherwise, you would also be you'd have to be Gozer for a field of Tiltan that's all Sfichim should be Asurim. Okay? And the fact that it doesn't say that, then it would be, it's, the fact that it says, if you like, it's cool because Sfichim says Chutz Min Zera. By the way, says Zera, the Amar Prashim, I understand immediately, it's clearly talking about Tiltan, really the same idea, and therefore it's non-Nichalei. Okay? So therefore, again, like I explained, it'd have to be falling back, or they'd have to go back to the first Shita to differentiate between what was the intention of the being Zoraya, was it if it was a Amir or a Zera, according to this opinion, okay, the Rabbi Yanai's opinion. Kol Sfichim Asurim Chutz Min Olim Babor. That would be Rabbi Yanai's, like we just saw in the Marfulda, he's attaching himself to that understanding. Okay, Beseder. I'm not going to go. It's so much more to do on the sugya that we'll leave it there. The Rig Baz also explains the flow of the sugya according to Yerushalmi, so according to the Masechet Tefillin as well. Like he ties it much closer into it. Okay, we'll continue. I think that's enough for now. Again, if you go through the different art scroll has a different flow. People have different flows, but I think I've pieced together this particular flow. Okay, closer, more cl tying it more closely to the Masechet line. Okay, let's continue. Tanan Tanina, Hamotzi met. If someone finds a body just lying there, Mushkav Kedarko. So it's not necessarily mit mitzvah. Mit mitzvah usually clearly has been killed or something like someone just lying down. Not lo that tvusato. You can take it and you can move it. You're allowed to move the body, including the tvusat. Tvusat is the area around which the earth soil in which is buried. Savamrav chista zotomeret. Met mitzvah mutar lifnoto. It must be clear that the din is that if met mitzvah, you're allowed to move it after it's been buried. So sorry, this is referring to if it's mushkav darko, it's been found a body that was buried. Okay, datanina, as I said, not lo betvusato. Now, what the rationale of the Gemara here is for someone finds a body, and it says there you're allowed to move the body otlo betvusato. It finds it in his fields, allowed to pick it up and take it out and move it with tvusato. So the Gemara's reasoning, if that's the case, that must mean a met mitzvah you're also allowed to move. Why? Because otherwise, you should be choishes that it's a met mitzvah. Who says you're allowed to move it? A met mitzvah, you're allowed to move it. So it must be that since a met mitzvah, it must be since you're allowed to move it and you're not choishes la met mitzvah, must mean that a met mitzvah you'd also be able to move. Change the move its burial. Okay, let's continue. V'kama, what's the tvusato? So Rav Shimon ben B'shem Rav Yonah says three atzvot depth around it. Right, ad shloshet board ad makom shomol you read. Okay, so Amrav Zera lo mistavra. He says opposite. Ella dala right met mitzvah asur lifnoto. It's asur to move a met mitzvah. Why? Shimatama mutar lifnoto. If say it's mutar to move it, most of elu ho'il u'ma'adim et kol ha'seder lo kol shkem mutar lifnoto v'mad pshit la'tana met mitzvah asur lifnoto v'vogem tzarach l'matnita. Now there's two ways to understand what the Gemara is doing here. The Marafolda ties it back to what we're discussing here. I'll just read the Marafolda. This says, "Ilu ayano liket asavim mikom makom shem mevadim tzaseh." He says, "Likut asavim." You know, the fact that we've got the Tanai Yoshua that you can collect all these asavim from everywhere because it's damaging to people's fields and it's nichali. Okay, elavade it must be met mitzvah asur. It must be the met mitzvah is asur. So therefore, it had to teach us. Lechen tzarech hatana lashmina shilumut elumutar. Meaning, if it is mutar to take a mitzvah, then the Tana wouldn't have to teach us the case that it's mutar to leketasavim. The only reason why the Tana had to come tell us it's mutar leketasavim is because it's asur to move a mitzvah. Okay, that's kind of the rationale. However, I'll show you the Ridbaz. He says, no, it's Mineu Bei is the proof, not from our sugya regarding Asavim. He says that if you just found a body there, the fact that you found a body there, what's it going to mean for you? You're now going to have to search for other bodies in the field. So he says as follows. If a met mitzvah was, what it's saying is, if a met mitzvah was mutar to move it, he's saying, Kal v'chomel korsha, you'll be able to move a met that's simply mushlach there because that's far more damaging to you. Far more damaging because you'd have to clean out the whole field. Then the Tana wouldn't even have to teach the case if you find random, like a certain bodies in your field that you're allowed to move it. If a met mitzvah, you're allowed to move it. Why do I need that whole case to tell you you're allowed to move it? That's in a case where, in other words, only if it was asur to move a met mitzvah, that's when over the necessity you say, okay, what about in this other situation where it's going to be damaging my whole field? What will be the din then? Oh, that's why you have to come to teach us. Oh, no, now that you can clear out the field. Okay? Now, for the mutar met mitzvah, kal v'chomer the other one, because he's saying a regular met of mushlach you happen to find, it's going to cause a whole tumult. If you don't start clearing out your field and expecting the field to, maybe the other body's better there, then the whole field is asur. There's a more of a, if you like, a reason to say that I can clear those bodies than a met mitzvah. So if met mitzvah is mutar, then you don't even teach this. You have to teach this whole teaching the ladder move a body. So therefore, it's only if it's asur, it seems to imply that it's because it's asur, that's why he had to come and teach us this whole case of find a met mushlach kadarko, buried like, if you like, not mushlach, that's mushkav kadarko. It's not mushlach, that's the girsa change. Mushlach seems to be it's abandoned. It's actually mushkav, that's lying kadarko. Okay, so let's continue. So Amar Achista, Ati Commander Amar Mit Mitzvah Mutar Lifnoto. Says, okay, fine. That over there, it's according to the Shita that it's Mit Mitzvah that is Mutar Lifnoto. Just to explain, he says the Mishneh Nazir that says if you want to make a mitzvah, that's according to the Shita that's Mutar Lifnoto. The Hahida Malaktim Commander Amar Asol Lifnoto. Back to the Marafulda's way of explaining it regarding the case of the proof is from the case of Malak the Masavim. Right? In other words, his proof was that we only need to teach the case of Malak the Masavim if you say mit mitzvah is asur lifnoto. Okay? Because again, if it's asur lifnoto, okay, what about Asavim that seem to be detrimental to the whole field? And therefore, he said, that's why you need, that only makes sense. So now he's saying, no, the Mishneh Nazir is. According to the Shita, that's Mutar Lifnoto, and our case is according to Shita, that's Asur Lifnoto, and therefore you can't bring a proof to, from our case to that for the din of whether it's Mutar Lifnoto or not. So Gemara says, Ani Omer Bishvile Reshut Nikbar. Now, according to there's different ways to understand this sugya. According to the Marfuldi, says this is a Teirutz Acher. This is a different answer. Senche Mash Behed Ben Etzach Nazir. In other words, Lo Olam Kule Alma. Everyone agrees it's Asur Lifnoto. Mitzvah is you're not allowed to move it. Ah, in Nazir, if you find a body that's buried, Kedarko, why can you move it? Why shouldn't be choshesh that maybe it's a met mitzvah? So he says that's b'shvile reshut nikvar. Now shvile reshut nikvar, I have to go through the Marafulda with you because it's actually an important concept that we'll understand for the next part. Now again, Marafulda is distinct from the other perushim, but again, I've probably got too many perushim in this year and it's confusing a little bit, so we're going to stick to one now. So now, what's a shvile reshut? There's certain times in the year, he's saying, that people allow other people to go access through their field to make a shortcut, as long as it's not detrimental to their field. Okay? Allowed to walk through there. The hidden, this is one of the Tanaim Yeshua Ben Nun was stipulated, which we're going to see is to Shaloyak Bidu that it shouldn't be makbid, people should be makbid on saying you're not allowed to come through my field until the second rains. Because if the second rains, people trampling through the field is going to cause a big problem. Which is Ad Yud Zayin Chevar Cheshvan. Az Vahala, Hazrain Tzomchim, that's when things start growing, and it'll be Kasher Lehem, people walking is going to ruin your field. That's Rashi. So let's skip a bit. We're talking about the situation where the body was found buried in Shvilereshut in these access paths. And therefore, it's not a mitzvah. It's clearly someone buried it during the time they were allowed to walk through the field. But that well, if not, an intention was it's a temporary burial, or I'm going to move it. That's what we're assuming. In other words, let's go through the flow again. Why are you allowed to move this body? If you say that met mitzvah, if it's a mashmet mitzvah, this is a body that was found dead, killed, and whatever, and there was no one to bury them. If that body you're not allowed to move, well, shouldn't you be choshesh this body that's been buried here is a met mitzvah? And the answer is no. It's buried in Shvilereshut, and it's we're not choshesh la met mitzvah. So the Gemara says v'chashomar. But one second, who cares if it's a Shvilereshut? It says v'chashomar. Maybe it's a mitzvah. So it says so there's two ways to understand this. The Marafulda initially says but me klo mi lo matzi na mi liot mitzvah mutal sham. So it's still part of the kasha. So in other words, you've achieved nothing by saying it's shvile reshut. But the way the other understanding is, says no benazir mashni de savar ein mitzvah mutzuyim. It's not considered a matzui thing. I mean, a common thing for a met to be a met mitzvah to be buried. Klo ma patzlin b'dar matzui. We point to the case of more intentional burials to say. And assume it was that was the case. And that's why it was intentionally buried there. We're not choishish that it was a bet mitzvah and the person can move it. Okay, yeah, fair. Let's now look at the next case. Shvile reshut, we discussed that. We should take out four once you've pulled out you've harvested your crop until the second rains. We said that's a time where Yeshua said you're coming makbid, people walking through your fields. Velokchim you're allowed to take little cuttings from trees from any place. Chutz except from a zayit or Michel Geffen, because those cuttings can be detrimental. So he said, why don't they tell me you're sure? You can go to someone's tree and take a little branch cutting in order to plant your own tree. However, but even a zayit is actually mutar min a chadash bechadash, a new shoot from a new tree, or min a yasham beyasham, an old shoot from an old tree, because those wouldn't be detrimental to the tree. אבל אם הם עשו כמין תרגולת, it seemed to be some sort of triangular configuration of some sort, I'm not exactly sure what this is. אפילו מן החדש בחדש, even a new branch from a new tree would be asr. Okay, next. Rabbi Tanchum, I'm trying to pick up the person. Rabbi Tanchum Dafar Gon says, Beshem Reb Alazar Reb Yossi. Arba, there are four takanot. One is, Melakta Masim Mikoma Kolvel Shalish Rishu. You're allowed to take this grass from any place as long as you don't pull it up from the ground. That's similar to what we just discussed. Or ponim, you can also go into anyone's field and you relieve yourself. Ponim lacharei geder, behind their fence. At what location? How deep can you go into the field? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshiyosi, Omer Abdeshem, Rab Tanchum, and Makon Shemitatesh, Ve'im Kolo Nishma. You can go until a place where, if you would pass wind, people wouldn't hear you. In other words, you're allowed to go in to a point where it's considered private. That's one of the takanot. Next. V'ro'im b'chorishin, you can take your flock to graze in a forest. And it says, afilu shevet Yehuda b'shevet Naphtali, even shevet Yehuda go to shevet Naphtali. Now, what's that mean? Here we're saying the bav, it's referring to like dropping fishing lines in Tveria. That's where the Yehuda can go up to the Naphtali area, it says. You can do the mashma dekai al hada amar hata mechakim b'yam Tveria, that you can drop fishing lines. V'chen mashma naten, what's that referring to? That's a continuation. That even though Naphtali has, you know, access, if you like, to there, he's given a chevel, a small strip of land that he can pull his nets out on, even if it's not considered his region. Okay, that's the Sanda Takanot. To the south, Shenem Yam Dor Yasha. That's the Rebbe Yossi HaGlili. Rebbe Akiva Omer, Yam Ze. Yam ze yam shel samchum, v'darom ze yam shel Tveria. So yam v'darom are two different bodies of water. Okay, machlokin pshat pesukim. Let's continue. U'mesalkim mistad, mistalkim mitzadim. What this means is when the roads start getting very muddy, didn't have concrete, didn't have bitumen, whatever it is they put down there, they would get, and it's not just muddy, because it's drying, and it ends up making, it's referred to as being like very sharp, you know, when the soil can start cracking and start making it very difficult to walk on. So he says, the word is yetadot adrachim, like the yetad is like a peg, a stake, sorry. In other words, they're allowed to walk to the signs of this drachim for access. It says, afilu bezman shatfua, even at the time when it was growing, going to other people's fields to be able, in order to be able to walk. Okay, that's during the summer months. All the clay starts drying, and it makes it very difficult to walk in that region. Okay, right? The place where people used to walk, it also makes it very difficult as going on. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says b'shem Rav. Even if the field is full of karkom, saffron, I think it is, that will create a great hesped if people walk through it, they're allowed to do so. The Gemara says, manoten damim olav. If you're going through the person's field and you're causing such damage, you have to pay them for that. Now, we're not about using it as a shortcut. We're talking about walking on the side of the road. But you have to walk into the field a little bit. Now, it might be planting close to the edge of the field, and you're going to cause damage. So you have to compensate them. Yes, you might be able to walk through it and cause damage, but normally we say you can't cause damage within mind to compensate, and that might be the there that you can go through and you have to compensate, or maybe not. So Yimada Amar Rav Yehuda afilu mlea karkom, even if the coin Rav Yehuda says that even if it's full of karkom, which is so expensive, mashma, that you have to pay, not enter the damage. But Amar Allah says, no, you mashma the wrong way. Look at the word afilu. Even a field of karkom, even something so expensive, you're allowed to walk through it. Hada amar must imply that you don't have to compensate. Okay, that's the pshat. So, and what that means is according to Ravla, this is a Rimapulda, it says, the amar ainon ten adam, you don't have to pay. The question is, let's say someone's to be a big tzaddik. He thinks I want to be a tzaddik and says, look, you know, I don't want to go into somebody else's field. I'm gonna take the hard road. I'm gonna walk through it in the mud and everything, because it says you shouldn't do that. Well, the question is it a problem to do that? Is it considered michsik yihora? I mean, if you've got a license, time Yeshua ben Nun, in these situations it's difficult to walk through these roads, you can walk in other people's on the edge of other people's fields for access. Now, if someone says, oh, I don't want to take that minhag upon myself, I don't know if they had terror, and it's going to take me twice as long to get home, but I'm going to do it. Is that michzik yoror or not? Because certain practices, we see, if you've been machmir, we say that it's not right to be going to that extent because you look like you're being haughty, like you're better than everybody else. There's always questions about being machmir, taking extra chumra, things like that, or certain practices, minhagim, whether that's michzik yora. So the question is, would this be michzik yora? So Gemara says, Nishma Meisa Baraman Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Shuma Halchim Maderach, and they were mistaken Litzadim Yetzot HaDrachim. So Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel walking on the side of the path because of the Yetzot HaDrachim. They saw Rabbi Papus Mishtakea, he's walking through the clay, it's getting all dirty, he's walking through the road, not going to that Tzadim. Who's the person that's like almost like pointing to himself, like presenting himself as being gaibedik by thinking I'm gonna be going a high level, I'm not gonna walk on the sides, I'll make myself money and go through the road. So Amar Yehud ben Papus, don't worry, tell him Papus, he is Shekol Maaseh Shemaim, this person's a tzaddik, you don't have to worry about him. But mashma from the pshuta, the actual maaseh, that you shouldn't be super machmer in this situation because it's considered yahara. And if in time Yeshua gave you a license to walk on the side of the road along the edge of someone else's field, yes, you're meant to go ahead and do so. And doing otherwise, you look haughty. Okay. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman says, if someone wants to build a city, so they're building a new city, they're able to construct roads even if it's going to go through other people's fields. Okay? This is like a governmental type of thing. It says, Rabbi Yonatan Bayi Kamei Rav Mana, Ma Arba Amot, or Shmona Ad Shmona, talking about a small road, 4 to 8, or Shmona Ad Shishasar, or like a Derech Rabin, maybe 4 up till a Derech Rabin, which is 16. So Amar La, actually even a bigger road, Amar Mishmona, but Ad Shishasar, so a Kadeshia Karon Alech Karaba, so you can have two, it's like a two-lane traffic, right? So wagons can go, pardon me, in both directions. Okay, presented. That's, yep, fine. I thought there's something else to do. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, there's nothing
Yeah,
else to do. All right.
could you remind me why is it asur to move a mate mitzvah?
No, it's a machloket where the question is, it's like it's konetz makom during the chiyuv. Right? A met mitzvah. That's a machloket in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying, is it asur or is it not? That's like that's actually the debate. Whether it's mamash konetz makom. All right, so a tricky one today. It's
There's
true.
always the question, Bichlal, if a person,
Yeah, so normally you're right. He can't do that. That's exactly the point. So that's why this is one of the taka. That has to be one of the taka of Yeshua, right? It has to be one of the things that part of the tenai of your this is your chelik in Eretz Yisrael is on condition that you are going to be allowing people to walk through the edge of the field even to your detriment. Right? That's like it needs for that exactly that reason. It needs a taka, a like a takana or a global acceptance. This is what how you're getting Eretz Yisrael. So, okay. So, have a good Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos, everyone.